50 years ago, Blessed John the 23rd announced that he would be opening the windows of the church to let in fresh air by calling an ecumenical council. At Vatican II, the church recognised that it carries out its mission in the modern world, not by fleeing from it, but by engaging with it. The Catholic Church in South Africa decided that this anniversary should not be only a celebration for the church, but also a golden opportunity to deepen our understanding of what the church is celebrating. Hence, Hope and Joy has come together to combine the resources of a wide range of agencies and organizations that provide accessible adult education for Catholics. The man behind the Hope and Joy initiative is Raymond Perrier, director of the Jesuit Institute in South Africa. Speaking to me, he explains that as the initiative itself finds completion in Vatican II's anniversary, it was conceived to help prepare the church in South Africa for the anniversary itself.
Absolutely. Yes, we enjoy to help prepare the church in South Africa for the anniversary. We were conscious when we sat down to discuss this 2 years ago now, that there was no doubt there were going to be great celebrations and masses and so on marking the anniversary. And this is long before we knew anything about the Year of Faith. But our biggest worry was that people would celebrate, but they wouldn't really know what they were celebrating. That perhaps the older audience would have vague memories of Vatican II and think it was really just about the Mass not being in Latin and the priest turning around to face the people. And that the younger generation would be completely ignorant of what it was. So what we set out to do as the Hope and Joy Network was a whole consistent process of educating people about what Vatican II was in anticipation of the anniversary.
Now I see on the first page of Hope and Joy this week you have the quote of the week, the words of John the 23rd, who was the father, let's say, of Vatican II. Mm-hmm. Are people going to your network and do you think they're actually learning what Vatican II was?
I think so. That's definitely the evidence. We've done this by a drip feed, so we didn't think that we could bombard people with huge amounts of information all in one go. So we've been using lots of different methods and giving them a little bit here and a little bit there in the hope that that will deepen and broaden their understanding. One of the advantages of working as a network is that we've been able to tap in to all the resources that different Catholic organizations have here. So, for example, the Catholic Institute of Education has enabled us to do work through schools, and the Redemptorists have enabled us to do work through the Sunday Bulletin, and the Southern Cross, which is our national Catholic newspaper here, to have a whole series of articles there every week. And so on. So using those different techniques, the Dominicans run a radio station here, Radio Veritas, which I'm sure you know. So using that as a way of getting the information across.
Now we look at photographs of the council itself in black and white, and it all seems very long time ago. But the message is very urgent today.
Yes, our message has been to say that the council isn't a historic event of half a century ago, but an ongoing process within the church and one that we're really only beginning to live out. And so, for example, parishes up and down the country are constantly talking about how lay people can take more responsibility within the parish and be empowered and work alongside the parish priest and so on. But most lay people aren't aware how that shift in understanding of the church came about, and the wonderful document, Apostolicam Proeditatem, get my Latin right, which is the one talking about the role of lay people and how that really galvanized the importance of lay people within the church. The whole notion that the church is the people of God, not just the hierarchy or not just the Pope in Rome.
There's been a lot of focus on lay people recently, especially in Africa. There's recently been a big conference organized by the Pontifical Council for the laity. It took place in Cameroon. And I know that it really did want to reach out across Africa. Do you think the lay people in South Africa have a big role to play?
Most certainly, yes. I mean, we are, as is true of many countries in Africa, the ratio of priest to people is really not very high. And of course, it's declining, as it is around the world. That, I think, is forcing parishes to do something which the church tells us we should be doing anyway, which is recognizing the role and the talents of lay people and really leveraging those. There's a further dimension to that here, which is because for so long, many of the priests had come from missionary organizations, predominantly from Europe, some from the States. And so there was a bit of a sense, not just that the priest did everything, but it was a foreigner who was often driving things. And the idea that actually this is the lay people and the people of the country is very important. So, for example, the work that we've done on the Ad Gentes document, the document on mission from the Council, was first of all to look at the role that missionaries have played here, which has been a huge role in building churches and building hospitals and clinics and so on, and then say, well, who are the missionaries today? It's no longer German nuns or Irish priests. It's lay people who have taken over and continuing to take over the role of running those schools and those hospitals and those clinics.
Raymond, seeing we're upon this 50th anniversary, have you anything special organised for the day itself?
Ironically, no. We decided not to make a big thing of the day, apart from an interesting theological symposium we're having. We have visiting us from the States, from Fordham University, which is the Jesuit university in New York, a wonderfully erudite and wonderfully talented theologian called Terence Tilley. Terence Tilley has just won, for example, the John Courtney Murray Award, which would be the sort of the Oscar of the Catholic theological world. And he's over here this week, and so we've got him hosting an evening of Catholic theologians on Thursday, partly, I think, it's a mass and a chance to share ideas, but also a way of recognizing the incredibly important role that theologians played in the Council, and that so many people would say the Council wouldn't have been what it was had it not been for the presence of the theologians. Our own South African Archbishop Dennis Hurley, who was such a towering figure at the Council, described it as the greatest adult education program he'd ever been to, because every evening the bishops were running around Rome chasing down a new theologian to hear what the latest was in biblical studies or in Christology or whatever. So I think it's important to honour the role of the theologians and to recognise that that's an ongoing role within the church.
Where does Hope and Joy go from here? How what kind of project do you have in mind? I understand it was a 2-year project and you're about 1.5 years through, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, no, actually, we were always aiming at the date of the anniversary as the point of winding it down. So the notion was that we were a movement set in place to prepare for the council, for the anniversary, rather. Once the Year of Faith was announced, then it made sense, effectively, to segue from Hope and Joy into the Year of Faith. And the Year of Faith is obviously an initiative which is being taken very seriously by the Bishops' Conference here, so both as a conference and also probably more so at individual diocesan levels, there are various activities. So we've been using Hope and Joy as a way of feeding people into that. So I'll give us a specific example. I mentioned before that one of the ways we have been communicating the content of Vatican II is by using SMSs, text messages. This is a country in which there are astonishingly more cell phones than human beings. So if we can harness cell phone technology to get the message across, then that's obviously a great medium. And, of course, entirely in the spirit of Vatican II, the comment at the beginning of Inter Modifica saying that we should take all these wonders of modern technology and actually use them for promoting the gospel and promoting the teaching of the church. So already, for the last year and a half, we've been providing a daily SMS service in which we've had extracts from the documents of Vatican II and also from papal teaching since then, so the teachings of Paul VI, John Paul II, and Pope Benedict. And the way we've done this is we've taken a different theme each week, either linked to the church's calendar or in some cases linked to political issues that are going on in the country. So people, for example, might be aware of the issues we've been having here to do with striking and so on recently. So we've spent some time looking at the church's teaching on workers' rights and the church's teaching on capitalism, the church's teaching on responsibility and so on, and using the SMS service to communicate that. So that's what we have been doing with that, and we have sent out, would you believe, almost 800,000 SMSs since that service began. So now this is how we're segueing into the Year of Faith. As of this week, that same service will continue, but now what we're going to do is we're going to follow the Pope's lead for the Year of Faith in focusing on the Catechism. And we've taken, there's a great document, which if listeners haven't seen it, they really should go and look for. It's called a UCAT, Y-O-U-C-A-T. And it's a version of the Catechism, originally created, I think, in Austria. Now there's an English language version, which presents the Catechism without dumbing it down in any way, but presents it predominantly to a youth audience. But I would say it presents it to a modern audience, not necessarily young people, but people with a modern perspective. And it's quotations from the Catechism and other supporting quotations. So we're going to be presenting UCAT every day in the form of daily SMSs over the course of the year, because we know that some people go out and buy the book, but many people won't. And this is a way that they can access that same content just by getting it delivered straight to their cell phone every morning.